The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Okay, we welcome you back. The final hour of the program on a very busy day. We expected news today, and we got it about an hour and 15 minutes ago. The SEC announcing it will play a 10-game conference-only schedule beginning September 26th. And we are expecting to be joined momentarily by the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, Greg Sankey. So we are really eager to hear from the commissioner in relation to how this decision was reached, the ramifications of it. It came during a conference call today with the SEC presidents. And there is still a lot we don't know. And what we don't know is what the schedules are going to look like. I was told a minute ago that the normal eight-game schedule that every school had remains intact. There is still some conversation about how the other two will be arrived upon. We speculated earlier, and I think we were off on this, that they would just simply move the next two rotation games up. That is not apparently going to be the case. But the most important thing, aside from all of that, is that the SEC now has a start date, and it is September 26th. So with all that, we are delighted to welcome the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, Greg Sankey, to the program. Commissioner, thank you. Every time I talk to you, you have just gone through a very long day of meetings. We're thankful that you're on, and hope all is well.
Well, it is, and you've described it aptly, that long processes, and we're simply in this very unique experience. And we're ready to start, though, and it's, I think, good to provide some context and a destination that people can look forward to.
And I'm sensing, you know a lot more, I'm sensing this decision came as a result of safety precautions and concerns. Can you explain why September 26th?
Well, a lot, and it begins with we wanted to set a start date, and that's really the point of emphasis, and it follows our return to campus. And over the last 2 weeks of August, we're going to have tens of thousands of people back on our campuses and our locales. We're going to be reengaging in education. It will be different as we live in this COVID environment, and we need to make sure that happens and happens well. And our athletics programs operate in the context of our universities, despite what some may write from time to time. That is absolutely our reality. And this decision is a recognition of that reality, wanting to make sure we welcome people back, that whatever learning and change has to happen around our campuses takes place in a great way, and that will allow us to play the football season.
Commissioner, as you wait to September 26, what are the key data points, the key entry points, however you would like to describe them, that you will be focusing in on aside from the student part of the play?
We've been paying attention to information. I've always been careful as I talk about data because I never want somebody to say, well, they're looking only at that. It's really a broad array. And a piece of it has been how our student athletes have adapted and our teams have adapted to this environment, and recognition that COVID's not going to go away. And so the ability to support a healthy environment is absolutely the priority. And one of the mantras shared, it was actually on a president's call, was to go slow so we can go fast, so we can ramp up and take time to play. We have looked at, the public health information that really anyone can access in our communities and our region. And I've been with you before, generated a bit of a stir on another a network show on a Saturday morning that these trends have not been positive, and we're still listening to our medical task force, who just looked at it and say, hey, if we can slow down, we want to give ourselves a chance to play football. The adjustment to conference only is about, we've been playing college football in this country for 150 consecutive years. We celebrated that last year, well over 85 years of crowning champions in the SEC, and we want to make sure we're able to do that. And there are parts of it that we regret, but it drove our decision to to have teams compete for a championship this year to the greatest extent possible.
The season was scheduled to begin in the SEC, I should say, on September 5th. Would you have been comfortable starting on that date?
Just right now, to say that things were going to be significantly better, there was discomfort. Discomfort for me, discomfort from a number of our programs. Not universal. This is an act of bringing people together, Paul. It's one of those times where you and my friend Mike Slive was great at that. And I'm grateful for those learning experiences, because we've had to come together and make some really difficult decisions. And the reality is, for the last 4 months, we've been in this hard decision-making mode, really, as you referenced, as I joined. And I think as we look forward, we can get through kind of what's happening in the public health domain. We need to see improvement. We need people to stay healthy. We need the positive testing rates to go down. We're not going to eliminate COVID, but we can address the public health issues to allow our young people to be educated and to allow our young student athletes to compete in football and other fall sports is our desire.
Commissioner, these young players have been out there in voluntary workouts and obviously have made the transition, expecting in a couple of days to start the march toward the first game. What happens now to practices? Do they continue? Does it change?
Well, the first part was we needed to make decisions looking forward before official practice began. So we are in what is kind of a new 20-hour experience with walkthroughs and meetings and film sessions that were to lead into the preseason practice activity. We didn't create a structure at this point that is different. We had very direct conversations with our head football coaches at 7:30 this morning about if there is a delay, that they're going to have to alter their approach. And we can govern that. They can govern that. But we want to make sure young people are supported and healthy. I think one of the things to keep in mind is we didn't have spring practice. And most of our programs didn't have any spring practice, so there's an opportunity to build in that mentality of let's go slow so that we can go fast once the season begins. Whether we have to govern that is another conversation tomorrow among our athletics directors. We'll continue in this dialogue. I know the Football Oversight Committee met among these changes to the season. That's a regular meeting that happened today. So we'll look both for national guidance. We'll look locally for information, work with our medical folks, and work with our athletics directors to determine if we need to provide that template for moving forward in the month of August.
Commissioner, I know that the most important thing was getting the start of the season situated, but can you explain the decision to play only conference games, thus eliminating what some others are doing with a plus one, a non-conference game?
Yeah, and that's happened so far on one occasion at the Autonomy 5 level. The Big 12 obviously has their schedule set. I think you just talked to Bob and probably some other decisions out there. First of all, people have been clamoring for us to increase the number of conference games, so I thought perhaps there'd be great celebration at that reality, right?
There will be.
But it is a recognition that we are in a very different environment, and the importance of a Southeastern Conference championship is primary for us and for my thinking. And a lot of discussion about whether that was the right direction. Ultimately, we've announced that decision. We have great respect for the rivalries that exist across the conference, but we don't know what the fall is going to look like. And having the ability to manage our own schedule, we believe, gives us the best opportunity to play for that championship, to have our division winners, which is our tradition, and then to have a conference championship game a few weeks later than originally planned. We'll provide an open week within the season. That won't be a common open week, so if I get into some of the details, we'll spread that likely over three different weeks. And so if you have early disruption, you have to have, if you will, luck, but it has to fit right, or you have to make quick adjustments or an opportunity on the back end of the schedule to play a game that might be displaced. And that's a recognition of we just don't know. And so we think it's important to plan for that right now rather than to hope for the best in this environment, because you know, we've been disrupted completely, and we want to make sure we're ready for it should it happen for some reason in our season.
Commissioner, I know this may not have been determined yet. Maybe it has, but fans want to know. You understand that better than anyone. How are you going to determine the additional two games for the 14 schools?
Yeah, we've been running any number of models, if you will, in thinking about how that decision can be made. Our athletics directors early in the week suggested let's make the first decision so we can then make the second decision. And that second decision is exactly what the format will look like. I know our colleagues in the ACC were able to put out the matchups quickly, and obviously some different dynamics there. Our two other colleague conferences that made announcements earlier in July took a bit of time to make their announcement. In fact, we're still waiting. So we just want to make sure that we walk through what is a really difficult decision on altering the season, and then we'll work towards finalizing exactly that format and be ready to go, I think, in short order with that information. It gives great conversation on afternoon shows, too, for a while, does it not?
It does. It's fantastic, and we appreciate that. Commissioner, I know these are tough decisions, and I'm curious, as you conferred with the presidents, so the people that are at the highest level of this conference, how agonizingly difficult was it today just to talk about the reality of where we are? I know this is you meet with these people a lot, but this was a critically important decision, and I'm sure a great deal was said. I'm not asking you to reveal that, but just the tone and tenor of the seriousness of the situation.
Sure. Well, I'll go back and I'll speak of a couple of groups. You know, I think we're the only conference to have hosted an in-person meeting of our athletics directors. And I think, Paul, and you'll have to forgive me if I did not say this, but that was a somber experience in a way. First of all, recognition of how long it had been since we'd been together. But as we walked through kind of realities and challenges, I think it really started the thought process in a deep, deep way. We then go to a president's video conference, which is weekly, and the time and the day vary. And I think you've seen there's so much happening in society and so much happening around intercollegiate sport that every one of those is a weighty discussion. But last week, as we looked forward with the expectation we need to make a decision before our preseason practice would officially begin, you could feel the weight among my colleagues, those at the president's and chancellor's level, and those at the athletics director's level, and there will always be different opinions. Another tribute to our good friend Mike is the First Amendment is alive and well, and the good news is our presidents, our chancellors are very engaged. They know how important this conference is, how important the universities are to their state and their locales, but also how important the opportunity to compete for young people is and will be, and that's really the guiding star, to do it in a healthy way, to minimize risk as much as possible, but to work to carry forward, and in this circumstance, a very deliberate way.
Finally, and you've said this many, many times, Commissioner, about the collaboration of your colleagues, and we had this conversation with Bob Bowlesby as well. I'm really interested, because there's so much speculation out there, and you don't have time to hear all of it. We do. And I'm interested in just, you know, where all this began with your colleagues trying to work collaboratively, and where we are today, where it at least appears that everyone's going off in a different direction.
Well, but I think similar outcomes, and you're right, you and I have had this conversation, and we went back probably to March. You asked about, well, how will decisions be made, maybe March and April, and I said the best guide is to look back, and that is, in March, we made independent decisions. We ended up really in identical situations there, but probably not as apparent, because we slowed down some of our thinking to just disrupt the spring completely. Some of us had different dates for potential return of athletics activity. Circumstances guided us forward. So you had different decision dates, some different decisions, but there are there is a level of alignment among us, recognizing we have to adjust a number of delays. I can't speak for everyone else and exactly where their start date will be. And there's plenty of criticism that, wow, we should have this. I saw the reference, we should have a commissioner of college football, that the NCAA works in a different way. You know, we are a group of conferences. We are independent entities. We're in different regions making really well-informed decisions, and the relationships are important. And in that format, there are going to be differences. I think what we do is great. And I think it will continue to be great without any qualifications of any other elements. But if you look at what's happened, we've stayed in communication. Yep, decisions at different points, maybe a little bit of different decision, but we're all focused on trying to support, in this circumstance, the game of football and the ability for those to participate in a positive way.
Commissioner, as we move now, in every conversation, we've always tried to look ahead, and you've been very cautious and patient about that, as difficult as this is. But we now have a little more time. What are the biggest challenges facing you and the conference and college football, for that matter, as we move forward toward the start of the season?
I would start with the full health narrative, the improvement of the circumstances in the public health arena, certainly in our region and around the country. We want to see the positive, and our university has done incredible work to plan for the opening of their campuses as we move forward in the summer. We want to see those opportunities supported in a great way. If I look at athletics and what we do, it's a continuing ability to have healthy support and healthy function within our athletics departments. We have time to do that, to continue to adapt. And, you know, I've remarked repeatedly about the ability to learn from what's going on around us. What happened on really Monday in the public realm with Major League Baseball, I think, is an important moment of pause, but an important learning opportunity for individuals on how they take these health expectations seriously, and for them of those of us managing conferences, in my case, or leagues, how we have to adjust in a really dynamic environment.
Commissioner, thank you. We always appreciate your time. So many people were eager and curious to get any amount of information they can, and thank you for being here. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Paul. I hope that information is helpful, and we're looking towards the start, and we've got some definition and some expectations, and it'll be here sooner than we think.
All the best. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
The commissioner of the SEC after another momentous day in that league. We will take a short break and get your reaction to all of that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. A lot of conversation about what went on, and there was clearly a lot of dissent in the conversations today. The Athletic, Josh Kendall in The Athletic, is reporting that the president at South Carolina wanted to maintain the plus one model so South Carolina could play Clemson, certainly, and he said the vote was 13-1. Again, that's the report in The Athletic. The commissioner there was pretty self-explanatory on the challenges ahead, and we'll get some more reaction the final few minutes of this program. Rare that you get two of the Power Five commissioners back-to-back, but that's what we had today. Let's check in with Tom in New York. Hey, Tom, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Two great interviews with Bowlesby and Sankey. And the question I have, you had made a comment before about how much did they actually work together to try and come up with plans that would, you know, it seems to me like, you know, the Big Ten was first. But if they were all together, I think the SEC putting it back to September 26th is a model that would be good because, you know, maybe there's the numbers go down and then like you said before, also they can watch what the NFL does. Now, it just came across the bottom of your ticker. I don't know if you saw the Buffalo Bills sent home some rookies that already tested positive for it. So I know there's a lot more questions than answers. That's one of my favorite sayings right now, but I just wanted to know what you really thought. Like, as much as they talked, as Sankey said they did, was there really collaboration there or not? Because it just seems like
I don't think so. I think there are a lot of tensions between these commissioners, and I think there has been some gamesmanship going on. I think it started 3 weeks ago with the Big Ten, and I think we saw some of it yesterday. I think Bob Bowlesby really telegraphed his next move. I don't think they're starting the season on August 28th. I think they're going to do what everyone else is doing. Because otherwise they will simply just, you know, be dramatic outliers. Let me say this in full candor. I know Commissioner Sankey very well and have great admiration for him and have been friendly with him for many, many years. But I was more struck by the sound and the tone of his voice than I was by what he said. And I'm not sure I'm even fully capable of expressing it, but I want to think about it. But I don't know if anybody else heard it or not either. But I know he had a long day, but he did not resonate a lot of optimism here.
No, well, the thing too, Paul, is I'm wondering if the five Power Five had come together and been more in unison and put on a united front, I think that it would have. I understand, you know, you have your rivalries and your games that you want to play and, you know, different contracts, but I think this is a special situation.
Tom, they should have. If there was ever a time that the leaders of the sport, and these are all men who make a lot of money, have great responsibility, and work together on almost every project, if there was ever a time that they should have come out in a joint statement saying, this is what we're doing. We're all taking this seriously, but instead it's just like watching a bunch of kids run around a merry-go-round. And I don't mean that in the way it sounds. I mean, there's just there's no continuity at all. And that's disturbing to me.
Well, the difference between when you've had, I listened to you speak to a couple other conference commissioners, the smaller conferences, and the difference between the two levels of conversation were drastic. You know, obviously I understand why, but like whether they're going to cancel they canceled the MAC. I the woman you spoke to, the commissioner she spoke to about the season. It's just like, I think this is, I mean, I know it's unprecedented, but this is where they should have come together, like you said.
Yeah, they really should have. And I'm not sure it's over yet. Thanks for the call, Tom. We have to go to a break because we went long with the commissioner, obviously. But, you know, this NCAA vote next. Thank you, Tom. This NCAA vote next week is very important as well. I don't know. I mean, just think about Greg Sankey for a second. I mean, you've been working diligently since early March to try to get to the opening weekend of the season. And the reality is, you're starting 3 weeks late, which gives you very little time, and you know what's ahead, and I think they all know what's ahead. We'll take a short break. 30 minutes to go. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, we welcome you back. Just another normal day in late summer. A lot of things happening out there. Scott Strickland, the AD at Florida, talking to reporters moments ago about the loss of the end of the season game with FSU.
Playing FSU was a priority, and because of the way where the league landed, we're not going to be able to do that. And I don't think any of us would ever say that that's where we want to be. We look forward to playing that game every year and had some success in recent years playing it. We look forward to playing again this year and just not going to be able to because of circumstances beyond our control. We got a virus that's changed a lot of things. And this is unfortunately one of them. So really disappointed in that. Wish there could have been a way we could have figured that out. But we'll respect the decision we've made as a league and look forward to trying to support our athletes and our coaches in safer ways possible as we move towards September 26th.
So that's the opinion of Scott Strickland. Let's get back to the calls. And Mary in North Carolina. Mary, thank you and good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, first-time caller, huge fan.
Thank
you for taking my call.
Of course.
Hey, Roll Tide, I have to say that. I have a question. Thank you for the announcements and all of that and just trying to catch up. But I've missed this, but have they made any announcements on the number of COVID illnesses on a team that would potentially stop a team from playing or from canceling a game? And I can hang up and listen to your
answer. Yeah, Mary, they have not. Commissioner Sankey and even Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, simply said they're relying heavily on leading epidemiologists. Bowlesby said they've even communicated a couple of times with the coronavirus task force out of the White House. I don't think there's anyone they're not talking to. This is just an interpretation here, but I think the presidents and the commissioners are most concerned about what's happening next, and that are the students are coming back on campus. I am hearing a lot of conflicting stories out there today. The athletic directors are like wondering what happened to our season. The presidents came in, but the presidents have one obligation, and that's to the university. As important as college football is, and it's obviously important enough for them to agree to a late start, the idea that they are going to watch and see how students mingle with athletes and how safe the campuses are before they start football is a really interesting decision. It's a safety decision. Everyone may not like it, and I can tell already a lot of people don't. There is a risk in starting the season 3 weeks late. You don't have any wiggle room. I know the commissioner said that there's everyone will have an off week, a bye week, and then there will be a scheduled bye week before the championship game. But if there's no way we're getting through a season without interruption, so you don't have a lot of room to spare. That's assuming all this goes according to schedule. Let's get some more reaction. Bill is in Louisiana. Hey, Bill, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
I am doing well, thanks.
The reason for my call is it's unclear to me why, if you can play 10 games, you can't play 12.
Bill, I wish I could tell you the answer to that because you're right. What you're trying to do here is minimize the schedule and give yourself a little bit of room. I do not buy the argument that everyone's using the same protocol because we haven't seen the schedule yet, but you're going to see some very long trips. I mean, this is not getting in a bus and driving 50 miles across town. You have teams in this league that require it will be hours of travel, and it's bus to the airport, fly, bus to the hotel. You're dealing with hotels. You have no idea what's going on at those hotels. I've stayed at the same hotel many times as the football team has. And on a Friday, now it'd be a little bit different this year, but on a Friday night before a game, those are usually very busy places. One thing we didn't learn about today, and I don't think we're going to learn this for some time, are what the crowds are going to look like if there are any crowds. But the fact that
that's very interesting.
But I know there's a lot of disappointment today, and I would be foolish if I tried to portray it in any way other than that. I mean, those who understand the seriousness of this, but also believe that you need to get back to a normal lifestyle, are not going to be happy by a 3-week delay. But I think the commissioner, you could hear it in his voice. He did everything he could to make sure the season began, and it's beginning late.
Yep. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Thank you. When I first heard some of the contingencies going around, most were looking at a September 19th date to start. September 26th is dramatically later than the week earlier. I know that's not a big deal, but you know, it's not like you're delaying it. You're not delaying it 1 week. You're delaying it 3 weeks. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Really do appreciate it. And LT is up next in Florida. Hey, LT.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I know this is going to sound far-fetched, and a couple of the other callers had actually asked what I was going to ask. But the question I would ask, do you think that there's a football team out there that would expose their players to COVID so that, because we have 7 to 8 weeks before the season starts, that they would be like done with it by then, and then they wouldn't take a chance of having to cancel a game?
LT, that's assuming that hasn't already happened at some places. Everyone has their favorite horror story about what's gone wrong. I don't think now that is going to happen. I think the biggest danger was early on when players were returning for the voluntary workouts and just doing whatever they felt like they should do. And that's why you had the reports at Clemson. You had the reports at LSU. Alabama has had major outbreaks. Auburn. And I'm just giving you some of the schools that I have reasonably high probability of knowing numbers. But every time you see a school announce we tested 417 people and didn't have any positive, that's great. That's fantastic. That's not telling us, though, how many already have it.
Okay. And then my question, and you touched on it just a little bit, but when do you think the commissioner, will it go by school or will it go by the commissioner on what the fan base will be? Like, will they take season ticket holders? Will it
I think my best guess on that, LT, is that's going to be a state decision. I've heard some schools are talking about 15%. I know in Texas the number is significantly higher. I think it depends on who your governor is and what he's willing to do. I was told there's a specific SEC state where the ADs went to the governor and said, we want 50%. And the governor came back with 15%.
Wow. Wonderful.
Now, I will tell you, you're in Florida. I think you're in good shape myself, based on what I've seen from your governor.
I love my governor.
No, I would be shocked if Governor DeSantis does not allow a higher numbers. I'll say the same thing about Georgia. I had an interview with Governor Kemp a few months ago. He's a big dog fan. I know that sounds crazy, but we're going to see different. I don't think there's going to be a uniform number.
All right, Paul. I appreciate
Thank you.
Your time, sir.
Great to have
Thank
you on. That's when it gets into politics. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.